InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Children who survive trauma and abuse in their early years are reportedly twice as likely to develop serious diseases later in life. InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony has the story. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Here to discuss the study's findings is Esme Fuller-Thompson, professor at the University of Toronto's Factor Inwentash Faculty of Social Work and director for the Institute of Life Course and Aging, also at the University of Toronto. To start, can you give us a quick overview of what your study found when it comes to the long-term health impacts of childhood abuse?
Well, we were looking at a big data set of 80,000 Americans, and we were looking at the whole wide range of health outcomes. And we found out that those who reported that they had been physically and sexually abused as children had double the risk in their adult life of having heart disease, arthritis, asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is called COPD sometimes, diabetes, mental health problems, disability. We looked at all kinds of things and the associations were very strong.
Why might these serious health effects be so long lasting?
Well, when we first looked at it, we thought, well, maybe it's because being abused in childhood leads you to poverty, you drop out of school earlier, you're more likely to maybe self-medicate with drinking or smoking. So we wondered if it was sort of through a pathway of negative health behaviors. But we took those into account statistically, and we still found that association. So it seems to be that there's some link between child abuse. Physiologically, it seems to get under the skin and change the way the brain and the body reacts to stress later in life. That's our hypothesis about what's going on.
One striking part of the study was that even children who were not abused but lacked a protective adult still faced higher risks. So what does that tell us about the role of adult support in a child's life?
Well, I think this was a very positive take-home message that we can make a difference. If you can be a presence in a child's life, if you can be there and make them feel safe and protected, it seems to be able to change the trajectory, or at least that's what we're assuming. It's a crucial buffer against stress, or at least toxic stress, such as childhood abuse. So if we can look out for those in our community, which may not be that close to you, sort of like a neighbor or you're a coach on a team, anything like that can make a big difference in children that are suffering these really negative childhood experiences of abuse.
I think you alluded to this, but when we talk about protective adult, what are we talking about here? Is this about physical protection, emotional safety, or something else?
We're not quite clear because the question that was asked of the respondents was, when you were a child living at home in your household, did you have someone who made you feel safe and protected? So somebody that was there to give you a hand and to help you and have your back. So the abuse that we're looking at, we don't know who were the perpetrators of the abuse. The abuse could have happened in a variety of different environments. It wasn't necessarily within the household. But it seems even if the abuse was happening in the household, if the other parent was there and providing protection or making the child at least feel safe and protected, that made a big difference.
Was there anything in the data that surprised you or challenged assumptions about childhood adversity and adult health?
I think the strength of the associations. So if you were both physically and sexually abused, you had double the risk of such a wide range of serious physical and mental health conditions. And depression, it was even more so. Those who were both physically and sexually abused had quadruple, four times the risk of depression. So one of the take homes, or I would like, is that clinicians also think about childhood adversity when they're screening their patients for health and mental health concerns, that we are a continuum from the fetus all the way to the older adult, and our life experiences cumulatively can impact us.
The mental health component is extremely important here in early assessment, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And there are some excellent interventions that can make a difference. So if you're working with somebody who has been abused as a child, or if you yourself as an adult have had that experience, one very effective intervention, so this is not from our study, but this is from the wider research in general, is cognitive behavioral therapy. It seems to be very effective around mental health concerns for those who have experienced childhood adversity. It also seems to make a difference if you have a good social support system in adulthood, like you have a good marital partner and or good friends and support. And that can seem to also buffer the impact of these early adversities.
What can parents and caregivers and even communities take away from this research in terms of helping children who may be vulnerable?
The very first step is primary protection. So we want to stop abuse happening. And so there's different ways to do that. Parenting support and training, school-based prevention education, home visiting programs are very effective, particularly with vulnerable financially and young parents, that you can have people come in and kind of model behavior. But once the abuse occurs, things like cognitive behavioral therapy is very effective for abused children and for adults who haven't had the opportunity to process those emotional causes. Also, for those of us who can possibly make the time, mentorship programs like Big Brothers and Big Sisters provide a safe adult who can be there and have these children's backs.
Your research just sort of scratches the surface here. What is ahead for your research? What comes next?
You're right. There's so much that we can look at. I'd like to know more what's in the black box, which is sort of, why is this impact? We imagine it's physiologically changing the way people react. So I'd like to work with people who are looking at sort of inflammation responses in individuals. And I would also like to get a greater understanding of possible early interventions and how they make a difference in later life health outcomes. So we already know that these early interventions like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is sometimes called CBT, makes a difference for depression and anxiety. But if we had every child who comes into contact with the child welfare system get this intervention, it's only 8 to 12 weeks, 1 hour a week. It's not a huge intervention, but it helps people reprogram negative thoughts and things like that. So will that impact their long-term health? We don't know that yet, but I would really love to know. And I think that'll be the next 10 years of my career trying to figure this out.
Fascinating research, and we'll be looking forward to what comes next. Dr. Esme Fuller-Thompson with the University of Toronto, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.